Dark Cast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here.
We are gathered here as advisors, as scientists.
The kind of place we expect a ghost to like to wander around.
Hey, we all know where we're going down, baby.
I'll help you. I'm something of a witch.
Welcome to Mission Spooky. I'm your fantastic host, Cord. And here with me, as always, is the queen of everything, Kiki.
I'm always here because, you know, I do all the stuff.
Some people
have the audacity to not show up. Just kidding.
I love that boy.
We knew JC was going to have off today too. It's okay. So last time when we recorded with Max, JC had off because it was his birthday.
Happy birthday.
So we'll make him listen to this later, but happy birthday again. And then this week, what was it, like a work emergency? But we knew in advance, so.
Yeah.
It's okay. We just make fun of JC because he's not here. You know the drill.
Of course.
Before we get started, I'm going to give a special little extra shout out to a previous sponsor of ours that we really have to do a little spotlight on. Check out Smell of Fear Candle Company.
Yeah.
Frightfully fantastic candles, and she's got melts that take you into your favorite horror stories. And I'm mad. I have to talk to her. She did me a solid last time. Gave me, because she can, well, she'll re-pour some of these at some point anyway. I think I showed off, you guys. I did the basic witch candle, which is really, really awesome. It's pumpkin spice. Mm. And yeah, and then she gave me the Godzilla one. That was a re-pour because she ran out of it. Imagine that. Everybody wanted a Godzilla candle. Super popular. And this time I wanted the, you gotta be fucking kidding me, candle. A Scotch and Snow is the fragrance. And that would be from what movie, Cord? Maybe you don't know? I'll give you a hint. It's Scotch and Snow and a last name, MacReady. My favorite horror film of all time.
You're gonna say it, I'm gonna kick myself.
I know. The Thing.
Oh, see, I have not watched that yet.
What?
God dang it.
How many years have been,
I've been watching a lot of old body horror this year, so I might end up there in the next week or so, but I have not watched that yet.
So I have taken on, well, not to skip over the little like kind of commercial that we're doing here for Smell of Fear, but I started watching a bunch of old and 70s horror that I missed because I was too young, just a tad bit too young to watch it. So these would be like either they came out the year I was born, early 70s, or up to like 80, where you're kind of like, you know, my parents were very strict about what I could and couldn't watch. So
right now I'm in late 60s Japan territory.
Nice. Okay. Yep. I was actually considering watching a few of those, but I'm going to stick with American made this year. Or at least this month. Yeah. So anyway, so right now she is out of You've Gotta Be Fucking Kidding Me. And that's how I felt when I realized that she was out of it because I really want that one. So yeah, so mad. Still, Cryptic Collection is still available. The Sasquatch one is always available or has been most of the time.
Hell yeah.
And Kraken is sold out. Loch Ness Monster right now is sold out, but you can click on this little thing on the website that says let me know when resurrected, which I think is so cute. And so when like Kraken becomes available, or even the other scents, like I said, she does repours all the time, so very cool. And then she got the Devil's Footprint candle again for cryptids, and still have Frankenstein and the Mummy available. Oh man, I gotta get the mummy one. But anyway, yeah, they're really cool. She basically got movies and still has a bunch. The Sinister Skulls are like one of her top selling items. So those are always available. And that, of course, is a glass skull with a candle in it. And it comes in, I believe, different fragrances depending on what color skull you choose. So big shout out to Smell Affair Candle Company. They were our July sponsor, and I love her and I love her stuff. Great product.
I actually need to buy some candles.
Right? Get on it. They're totally worth it. So today's topic is one that was chosen by one of our Patreon supporters. Shout out to Meg. Apparently this came up in a Dana and Greg Newkirk Patreon tier where they do like the talks and stuff for Patreon for their museum.
Right.
This was mentioned, but they didn't get into it. So Meg was like, can you guys expound on this? Is Ohio too far away from Pennsylvania? I was like, no, we do Ohio. It's like our neighbor.
Yeah, probably closer than like New York.
Yeah. And yeah, so, well, kind of,
I mean, to us, no, but there are people in PA where Ohio is closer.
Exactly. Right. So if you live in Pittsburgh, yes, you've probably been, you know, like, Ohio's only like a hop, skip, and a jump. For us Philadelphians, it's a waste.
Philadelphians.
Yeah, like New York City is only 2 hours away. So, you know, well, I mean, actually from where I am, which I'm slightly north of Philadelphia. But anyway, you guys get the picture.
Europe.
And I have been to Ohio many times, many, many times. So I said, yeah, sure. Let's look into this. So the topic was... Whoa, and I just, okay, my microphone just went away. This is a great episode.
A professionalism.
Fucking stellar episode. This is going to be our best one ever. This is going to be the most listened to episode of all time.
It's going to be funny when it actually is.
Yeah. Fun side fact before I actually tell you what we're going to talk about. I just looked at our YouTube channel, and also please, if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, then please go over there and just subscribe. And it some of it's the same stuff, but we do have like our movie reviews that are only over there now. And I actually have one going up because I'm fucking nuts, and I don't know, I'm just not gonna sleep until my birthday. But anyway, the most listened to episode over there is Ghost Sex. Still.
Yeah.
And you know, you can look at your analytics on there, and it breaks it down to according to what if people have looked up like specific words, right? So of course, right. I want to look at that, and I'm like, yeah, what how are they finding us, right? That episode is mostly found because someone literally typed in the words ghost sex. Yeah. I'm so proud of us. Yeah.
Good choice of words in the name.
There you have it, guys. But we'll see, because today, sorry, I'll finally tell you, it is the Witch Wars of Cincinnati. And it, okay, so if you look up Witch Wars of Cincinnati.
Witch Wars. Witch Wars.
Right? You're going to only find a couple of websites that have basically the same information. So I'm going to give you guys a hint, though. One site pulls directly from another and is actually plagiarizing the man who wrote the book Cincinnati Curiosities. He does have a Tumblr, and his name is Greg Hand. And I'm taking the information directly from both his Tumblr site and also his book called Cincinnati Curiosities. And that is because I really couldn't find anywhere else at all that got into any of these witch battles. And when I call them battles, that, you know, don't think like they're literally battling each other in the street with wands like Harry Potter. No, this is just some crazy ass bullshit that happened in the late 1800s. It was about like I'll double check, but I feel like the dates are definitely like the 1870s into the 1890s. 1897 being kind of the cutoff for it.
Right.
Now, the interesting thing is that in Cincinnati in particular, during this time period, you have an influx of Germans into the city. And at one point, you have like 56% of the city being just German immigrants. I'm not blaming the quote witch wars at all on German immigrants. But what I think is interesting is if you look at some of the names and some of the news articles that Greg Hand pulled from in his research, it is either German or Italian. And that is only funny because I had a little side note to possibly do maybe later this year, Italian Witch Wars in Philadelphia. Which
really?
I had no idea that that was going on until I was doing the research on the Hex murders and then found out that there was like very specifically, and the reason I didn't include them in the Hex murders is because they were very specifically within the Italian community within Philadelphia. So I was like, dude, no, we're going to talk about that like completely separate. They're not exactly Hex murders anyway. They're more of this, which is neighbors complaining to other neighbors about their neighbors doing witch shit to them. So
my neighbor put a curse on me.
Literally. That's yep. Where to begin?
So is this going to be like a Hex Calo version 2.0 or?
Well, not exactly. We'll see that Cincinnati deals with its witch wars a little bit differently than,
oh, you know, less potatoes,
less murdering.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Less murder. Better.
It's a lot less murder. Oh, man. So I will start with in 1869, there is a woman named Amanda Truman, and she's going to claim that spiritualists have caused deaths in, I think it's Sedumsville, Ohio, the Sedumsville area. I did try to do a little cross-reference on specifically, like, if Sedumsville had any peculiar deaths. I couldn't find anything at all that specifically was, like, a weird death. So, you know, once again, we're blaming just possibly everyday either accidental death or just, like, they got sick. Shit happens, right?
Right.
But this woman says that she has proof. And this is her quote. And this was in the Cincinnati Commercial on June 4th, 1869. Let any person draw the picture of the spiritualist. Take a gun, load it with silver, and shoot at the picture, and see if the devil won't defend them. There are a great many people that die suddenly of inflammation of the brain, stomach, and bowels, which is caused by these wretches throwing wind into them. End quote.
Uh-huh.
So, again, I couldn't find anything specific about... No, she's saying inflammation of the brain, stomach, and bowels, but not really that strange, right? Like... probably just got sick. Sorry. But sure. What the hell is throwing wind at them? Like, are they getting farted on? Because that's where my brain went.
Well, it certainly wouldn't help the situation.
And then right? Like, oh, God. Because my son really likes to let me know when the farting has occurred, whether I care about it or not. You know, I farted. I'm like, well, congratulations. Like,
you did it.
What
kid.
Do you want? You did it. And then, oh my God, the other day was terrible because he ate a bunch of like those blue fire Takis and they're good, but they're bad. Talk about inflammation of the bowels.
They're good, but they're bad.
I'm like, well, if there's no blue heat Takis available in 1869, then that's not it. This one I had to read to myself like four times because of the way that it's worded. It's not his fault. It literally has to. There's no other way to say it. It's just kind of a tongue twister. But in 1875, there's a feud between two Italian families, and this leads to charges of witchcraft. Apparently, the father of one family shot a cat that belonged to an old woman living nearby. She cursed, allegedly, the newborn child of the cat killer's family. Whew, I don't know why I read that like six times today. Maybe I just needed more coffee. And this poor kid gets sick. It's very unfortunate. So the family calls in what I'm assuming is to be a doctor, I would hope, named Alexander Schilling. Oh, I'm sorry. No, he's not a doctor, folks, right? Because you're like, surely they would call it doctor, right? No. Alexander Schilling is an exorcist.
Yes.
He's very helpful. He's going to be so helpful with this poor dying child.
The first person to call.
Yes, of course. I think that John Curley would think that was funny. Call an exorcist. So according to the Cincinnati Enquirer, September of 1875, and I quote, "It will be remembered that it was this professor of devil driving who not long ago rescued a child from an evil working old woman on Cross Street. Dr. 12 and a half cents no sooner saw the child, or rather the shape of the child, than he pronounced it was a victim of witchcraft. And the parents knew it as soon as he said so." Yeah, well, he puts this potion on this child, and he orders that the mattress be cut open. I did a little bit of digging about this one, because apparently what they find inside, according to the same article, is that there's a lot of feathers inside of it. Well, duh, it's a mattress. And guess what they put in mattresses in 1875? Yeah, feathers.
Yep.
It says also the comb of a chicken, and that the feathers were all beautifully colored and all this. I'm like, well, yeah, chickens come in more than one color, guy. Settle down. Besides that, maybe the only interesting part, wonderfully formed wreath, not yet fully grown. End quote. So that means there was some kind of plant growing inside the feather bed.
Right.
Turns out that actually isn't even unusual. I found a paper where a study was done recently on basically looking at feathers from chickens as, you know, they're disposed, right? Like they fall off all the time. If you guys have had chickens, then you know.
Yes.
Right. And then what could we do with these? And it turns out that as they decompose, they actually can be used as a fertilizer if they go through a process to do it. So it's basically like, yes, this can happen. So it's very possible that these feathers were old, the mattress is old, things are breaking down, and maybe a seed got stuck in there, or, you know, some vine or something that grows without, doesn't have to be in the soil. You don't know what the decomposing insides of that mattress look like. So sure. Scientifically, not out of the realm of possibility, which I thought was actually kind of cool. Of course, the exorcist is like, burn it all. It all needs to be burned. I don't know why I'm giving him a slightly.
Yeah, I like your exorcist voice.
Yeah, he's from Cincinnati. He's probably German. So he's like, burn it all. But no, that's not even right either. All of these must be burned. And of course, the kid dies anyway. So,
well,
good job, Schilling.
You did it, kid. Good job.
I like that they called him Dr. 12 and a half cents. That was brilliant. If that's what's on your mind, if you think it's a witch, and we've talked about this so many times, if you think it's this, if you think it's that, then any evidence that you see is going to be that. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's archaeology or anthropology or a ghost hunt. It doesn't matter. If you have in your head that that's what you want it to be, then boom, there you go. You have it.
It's self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes. For some people, naturally. Not everybody. Not probably to me, in my estimation, not even nearly as many people, but
yeah,
you get me.
For sure, yeah.
Now, this one is actually kind of interesting. This one was 1883. It is the Schefflers. It's an entire family of German immigrants who are moving there. I didn't look this up. My Cincinnati people, my Ohio people might. There's a place called Over the Rhine. I was like, damn, that's how many German immigrants were in Cincinnati. That's pretty cool. I mean, you know, anyway. So they go to the police station and they're begging the police officers to help them escape their haunted house. I love that this is 1883 and someone literally goes to the police because they are petrified of their house.
There's a ghost harassing me. Please go arrest him.
That's what it feels like.
It's just, okay.
So they go on to claim that this woman they call Frau Landecker has cast a spell through tea that she has given them. And it sounds like this lady probably just was being a kind neighbor and, oh, other Germans, fantastic. Here, would you like some medicinal tea? And then it turns into this, where they're accusing her of witchcraft. So they say, because, you know, why not? That's, again, it's always, I just,
I just had the thought process of just this witch woman put my son under a deep slumber magically. So, well, it was chamomile.
Right. Like, didn't you ask me to give him something for his sleep? And then I gave it to you. Now you're mad at me because of it? It worked. I don't know what else to tell you.
You're welcome.
Side note, you guys will hear me. I think it's going to be like November, first week of November, second week. Of course, if you follow us on Twitter, Instagram, I'll let you know. But I was on the Flaky Foodie with Jess and we talked about molasses. And I mentioned, you know, like, here's the magical essence of molasses, right? You know what? It's about, they'd give molasses to women when they were pregnant, especially because they thought that it was good for them. Well, it turns out it has a lot of iron in it. And magnesium, naturally blackstrap molasses. And it actually is good for you. I mean, we know this even now, like as a supplement. You could take like a tablespoon of molasses, blackstrap molasses specifically, and then you get your daily doses of extra of these things. So a lot of elderly people will now just add that into their repertoire for, you know, instead of a vitamin pill. Sometimes it's easier for someone to just take a tablespoon of molasses. I get it. Especially trying to swallow pills, for example. And
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah. So the magical property is actually the scientific property, which is why I keep saying that magic is real. Fuck you. Just not you personally. Ouch.
Like, ouch.
No, I'm just kidding. No, but you know, again, our listeners know that I say that magic is just science that hasn't been discovered yet, or in many cases, we can absolutely 100% prove that the magic, quote, behind it, or the healing, the folk healing, is 100% correct. Unfortunately, in this case, we don't know what she actually gave them, but I will give you the quote of what was going on in the house. Peculiar noises were heard about the house. Members of the family were unceremoniously jerked from their beds. Black and shadowy figures were seen as they glided past, and not only seen, but felt as they took malicious enjoyment in pulling hair, pinching noses, jerking dresses, and such ghost-like pranks ad infinitum. So, that actually sounds like a poltergeist.
Yeah, pretty straightforward, yeah.
Mr. Scheffler, at one point, the quote is seized with a paralyzing chill, and that Mrs. Scheffler was at one point thrown against kitchen furniture with these like invisible hands. So I think it has a lot to do with like the paralytic effect. The cops go down there. They're going to check everything out though, just to be sure. It says that basically all they find is a puppy.
And the dog definitely didn't do it. Unless.
They brought Frau Landecker in on charges of practicing medicine without a diploma, though.
For offering someone tea.
Well, their assessment was that they believe that perhaps the peculiar medical treatment, in their words, gave an effect of lunacy. So maybe... Yeah,
that's what did it.
Maybe the tea she gave them got them really fucking high. Maybe. I don't know.
Just, and I gave you the good shit.
Right. Yeah. She's like, because you were also German. I gave you the good shit. And this is what happened. And then she stopped doing people favors after that. And I don't blame her. So
straight up.
So it doesn't say if she did any time. And I couldn't really find that out either. She may have just been fined for that because no one died. You know, no one got deathly sick or anything like that. So that's the end of that one. Then we have 1872. It's so quick. This harkens back to the whole, like, sometimes you're just a bad farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you're just still bad at farming.
The classic.
Yeah.
The classic.
This family from Cumminsville, do with that what you want. They charged a neighbor with bewitching their horses, but then it came out that they just bought really cheap horses. And so the horses had medical issues because they were sold cheaply. That's why, you know, so you couldn't even like blame the people selling it because they bought them at a discount because they were either old or they had issues that they should have just taken care of the fucking horses. You know?
yeah, that would have been a good idea.
The next one, I definitely want to add this one because it just goes to show, and thank goodness that in this case, the Cincinnati police are like, you're full of bullshit. This one just proves that even if someone did something strange, somebody else could just charge you with witchcraft because you just did something strange. So this one is, again, from the Cincinnati Commercial from June 2nd, 1878. And it says that Christina Myers was a cigar maker, which is kind of cool. She used to read a book in the evening. She'd sit on the floor and she'd put a candle between her feet as she read the book, which I'm still trying to figure out in my head, like, does it glow enough that you'd be able to read? Like, you know, I mean, I'm a short person, but how tall is that damn candle that she could read without shadow being cast too much over the words? But anyway, I digress. Definitely a weird habit, but neighborhood kids peer through her window one day and they see her doing this and they decide that she must be a witch. Burn the witch. She reads books with a candle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, reading by candlelight. Oh, you're a spawn of Satan.
Oh, gosh. So the two teenagers in question were Clara and Lena Rohr. They antagonized her so much that she took out a warrant against them.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah. So the justice of the peace, a guy named Vincent Schwab, he actually takes her side, yells at the girls, and posts $100 bond on them each to ensure that they are not going to do this kind of shit again.
All because she was reading by candlelight?
Yeah.
What kind of mental gymnastics do you have to go through? Like, it's the 1800s. What else is she going to do?
and that's why I'm like, well, the children, I mean, well, they were teenagers. So it's kind of like, come on, man. Like, you didn't have anything better to do but to go around and, yep, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So we're going to get on to the last one, which it's, for me, I don't know that I would call this part of the witch wars, because I feel like that was this definite period between like the late 1860s to the 1890s, right? So this one, the year is 1922, and it's the story of how witchcraft destroyed a marriage.
Oh, boy.
So we got this guy named William H. Lauterbach, and he lives in Sedumsville. So there's that name again. There's the mention of that little section, I guess, outside Cincinnati, or part, you know, part of it.
Right.
He is a gardener. That's going to play later. Again, another German immigrant. He is 65. He's a widower twice, and he marries his third wife.
Okay.
This woman is Catherine Darby. She, according to the marriage license, is 44 when they get married. Although she claims that she was only 39 when they got married, but that seems like a woman thing.
Oh, okay.
You know, like she's trying to make herself to be, I was younger than that and I've wasted my life, more of my right. precious young life with this old turd who's 65. Yeah. It was also her third marriage. It's going to last like 4 months.
Damn.
I like this one because I enjoyed her testimony. It was fantastic. I told my husband, if I'm going to divorce you, this is the circus that I'm going to have in the divorce proceedings. Lauterbach testifies that Catherine always complained about him being dirty, that his clothes were always dirty. She threw his clothes out of the house one time. Of course, he's a gardener, so he's dirty. This is another bone of contention, because Doug does not like gardening. He likes to enjoy the gardens. He's fine with sitting outside and having a beer in the gardens. But does he like to garden? No. But does he like it when I'm dirty? No. So it's really funny that there's actually this comparison too. He's like, take those boots off before you come in here. It's all muddy outside. I'm like, ugh, whatever, dude. Whatever, dude, is fine. So anyway, she apparently had him arrested for trying to clean up his mess.
How?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's like she threw the clothes outside, and then he like goes outside to clean him up, and in the meantime, she's calling the cops on him. That's the way I could. I don't know. I'm trying to picture this in my head. Like, how is this happening?
What the hell?
Of course, he also filed for divorce. Like, that day, probably, he was like, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm done with this.
Yep. So apparently Catherine also countersues. That's when we get the greatest supernatural divorce case in Ohio history, probably. I just keep it to Ohio history because I don't know if anyone else is. That'll be another side mission at some point. I'll have to look up and see who else got divorced because of paranormal consequence. Catherine, during the trial, says that he used to stay awake all night long reading books about the occult and that he must have, quote, unleashed hostile entities that tormented her constantly.
Man, people really didn't like reading back in the day, huh?
Right, or being smart at all. That was a big no-no.
Oh, a nerd? Put him in jail.
Yeah. She claimed that he summoned evil things into the house, all by lamplight, by the way, which I just think is even funnier. I want to put that in there because I'm like, yeah, I see my summoning like evil spirits by lamplight. Yeah, sure. The quote from the Cincinnati Post on April 18th, 1922 is this. One, she claims, was a devilish creature with horns who wore gray tights. This devil, according to Mrs. Lauterbach, sometimes accompanied by similar creatures, would jump about her while she lay in her bed and while she worked in her rooms. He, quote, pecked and, quote, poked at her and uttered parrot-like cries, said Mrs. Lauterbach. So she's saying that this gray creature that he summoned is giving her a problem. Sounds like an imp to me. I'm not saying he actually, you know, summoned an imp. I'm just saying that's what it reminds me of.
Sure.
Other people said a gray demon. And it had minions that were around it to keep in mind. So I don't know. I feel like maybe these are kobolds. Maybe. I don't know. So, and that's my D&D. I'm like looking at them like, are they little kobolds? I'm running around. Catherine tells the court that there was another creature-like thing, that it was a skeleton, and it would walk up and like stoop over her while she's in bed, do all kinds of weird stuff like that, touch her, never said anything to her, so couldn't speak, couldn't talk, but that it was just creeping around her, the skeleton creeping around. Then this is my favorite. This is also maybe, I got to find out if there's ever a time, I'm sure there was, when a woman said that the man bewitched her and forced her to marry him because she would have never married someone so old. And so it has to be witchcraft. It can't possibly be my own poor life choices that have led me to this moment of marrying a 65-year-old man when I was 39, 44. But anyway, you get it.
My own hubris? Impossible. It was witchcraft.
Oh, and he had a medallion around his neck, and that's where his power came from.
That proves it.
Yep, that's it.
Dude wearing a necklace. Done. It's over, man.
Mr. Lauterbach's time. He says that he was completely confused about how all this had ever happened. Like, how she got so mad at him, how it got so far. His personal history is that his previous wives had died. The first one he had 4 children with. She unfortunately died at a young age. The second wife he married in 1920, she had raised his children into adulthood. And then unfortunately, she had passed away. And then he said he really never had any intentions of marrying again, but he probably should have stuck to that.
Clearly.
Catherine says back to that Lauterbach lied to her and told her that he thought she had more money. But then he discovered that she didn't, and that's why he was doing all these things to her. Like he was trying to get her money, which she never had in the first place. Holy God.
What a mess.
And then he filed for divorce when he found out that she was poor. Mr. Lauterbach, he says, I'm a gardener. I'm reading about astronomy and stars and planets / the farmer's almanac, dude. Which made a lot of sense.
That's fair.
The judge ruled in Mr. Lauterbach's favor on the grounds of cruelty from her and granted him a clean break, and he did not have to pay any alimony either.
Good.
Unfortunately, he passed away 3 years after winning. You can find him at Spring Grove Cemetery next to his second wife, obviously not Catherine. Blech.
You're like, bleh.
Right? Bleh. And the house where all of this happened is still there. It's 655 Delhi Road in Sedumsville.
Ooh.
Yeah, so this is actually a newer book. It says November 14th, 2022.
What's November 14th, 2022?
When this book is published.
Well, then it looks like we still got a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be called Cincinnati Curiosities, Healing Powers of the Walmsley Madstone, Nocturnal Exploits of Old Man Dead, Mazepa's Naked Ride, and more. So there's a whole bunch of really interesting things going on in Cincinnati. Oh, it does say pre-order. If you want the paperback and, on Amazon, you can pre-order it. It will not be officially released until November 14th, 2022. But as I said, Greg does have a Tumblr page called Cincinnati Curiosities, and that is where I picked up most of the stories. So some of this is still available to read just on his Tumblr, but he's put the book together. So if you want all of the stories in one volume, the thing about Tumblr is he doesn't have them in any kind of particular order, so you have to kind of go down, pick and choose, and find them. So if you prefer just having your Cincinnati stories all in one place, there you go.
Bada-bing.
Yeah, sounds like a cool guy. You know what? That's sad, because if I'd known the book, I misread that, and I thought it said 2020, and I thought it was, you know, I misread it. So, shoot, I should have asked him to call on. I should have asked him on, because then we could have talked about it, and then the book would be coming out in a couple weeks. So, yeah.
Rip.
Well, you know, whatever. Hey, we can still have him come on, because, dude, there are so many crazy Cincinnati stories that I did not even know about. Well, why would I? Because we don't live there. But we haven't even gotten through all the crazy Philadelphia stories. But
yeah.
But Meg wanted this one, and I promised her I would do it. Darn it. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to play a song from a lovely artist out in LA, I believe, Morgan Clay. And the song, it's called Wilder Things. I suggest going out and just listening to all of her music. It's really cool. And yeah, anyway, so when we get back, we'll just go over a couple of things and make fun of JC for 2 minutes.
Hell yeah.
I spent way too many years wondering what you'd say. Way too many hours wishing me away. Waiting for the day that I would finally measure up. I spent way too many nights dying in your walls. Way too many daydreams keeping myself small. Holding out my hands to find the glitter in your dust. But I'ma take a step back, and not worry about how they'll react. The thoughts that turned into facts. Oh, I'm seeing through the
Welcome back.
Go buy candles from Smell of Fear Candle Company.
Yay.
Then go check out our Patreon. We have tiers at the $1, $3, and $5 level. One single buck gets you access to booper reels, some archive material that's still being uploaded a little bit at a time, and a few extras, some digital copies of stickers, for example. $3 level gets you access to our Cord versus Cryptid stat block cards.
Yay.
And the artwork. We just got the new artwork for the one that's coming on. I will mention now, so a lot of you guys know that Ben and Logan are from Lost Legends Tales of Thurn TTRPG podcast, and they had some personal issues. Well, they were good, though. There were some moves, and congratulations, Logan bought a house. So they've even had to put Lost Legends on hold for just a couple of months, you know, to try to like sort everything out. So we also pushed our episodes of Cord versus Cryptid back for them as well, because it was just too much for everybody to handle. So we're going to be doing the next one. I'm going to probably have at the end of November, and then we're going to give Logan some time, some turnaround time to get caught up with Tales of Thurn, because he's also the audio editor and I feel his pain. So we'll probably record his cryptid episode with him, and then you'll hear the TTRPG episode, but it might not happen until you might hear that like January, February instead of December, January. So it's being worked out, but the creature cards are already done and the artwork's already in, and it's freaking adorable. I'm sorry. No, Chris did those. They're freaking scary.
Adorably scary.
Adorably scary. Ashley's working on our cute cryptids for both right now. She also designed this really cool t-shirt that I'm going to put that up live on October 30th. It's adorable. I think you guys are going to like it, but that'll be on our Redbubble store. So you want to check that out. We also still have everything else available. Our Mission Spooky logo. I'm also working on our secondary logo, which is kind of cool. If you guys have been with us from the very beginning, I had a logo that had three things on it because, see, Cord was always supposed to be with us.
Yay.
And some of you already know the story about how JC totally fucked that up. Ha!
Yes.
And didn't call Cord back to tell him that he was on the show.
I got ghosted by the paranormal podcast.
I know, it was really bad. and I had nothing to do with the dude. You know me, you would have been on.
It was just funny because when you guys started, I was literally injured and had nothing else to do.
I know. So I'm gonna bring back that secondary logo for our t-shirts. I'm hoping to have that done before Christmas because it was a neat design, but it did need a little bit of polishing. So a little bit more streamlined, kind of like the Mission Spooky logo that we have now with the ghost and death. This one still has the ghost and the death, but what's really funny, Cord, I didn't take you out of the three things. I took myself out.
Good job.
If anybody wants to know, the ghost wearing the earphones represents JC, and death is Cord.
Yes.
I am supposed to be a little ghost with a crown on my head because I'm the queen of everything. So I've added myself back in for the deluxe version of our logo that will hopefully be out before Christmas. And then, of course, we still have the Albatwitch and the cute Lollachuza and the Beast of Bray Road, which I still think is one of my favorite. I mean, it's so hard to tell. The last two that she did, though, I mean, Beast of Bray Road looks like he wants to give you a little hug, and it's just adorable. And the Albatross just looked like, I'm ready to chuck this apple right at your face, but I'm so cute. Look at me.
Yes.
What else? What else we got going on? Oh, Facebook is still there. It's a thing. I'm mostly on Twitter where I complain. You know, I tried to keep the political stuff and my anger over the Ukrainian war, like, to my personal shit. But every once in a while, there's some crossover. And that's mostly because it has to do with something historical. And technically, we are a history podcast. I just spent an entire episode telling you the history of witches in Cincinnati. So there you go. And Instagram is a lot of pictures. A lot of pictures. I'm also on our Patreon. Oh, shit. $5 level on Patreon. That now gets you the redone versions, our states ones that JC and I had done as bonus episodes, but now we're adding Cord in because he missed like pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
So we decided to just revamp that entirely. And also we're going back to some of our original older episodes and kind of in very specific cases where the audio was so terrible because we were having to learn how to use Discord as a recording device back when COVID first started. One in particular is the Williamsport. I'm starting to fade.
It's turning on. Black. Everything's going dark.
Wildwood. Sorry. The Williamsport area, Wildwood Cemetery. We redid that one and we added Cord, and I just totally trashed the original. It was so bad. It was so bad, guys. It was so bad. So I always joke, I'm like, thank you to the literally hundreds of people who listened to that trash audio because they had nothing else to do because it was COVID. So I feel about it. I'm like, you poor people. I know that a lot of people skipped over that. I know it because of the numbers. I'm like, yeah, I'm surprised it was hundreds of people because I would have just been like, no, I'm done. Next one, please. Well, JC's a turd because he didn't show up again today. No, I'm just kidding.
JC, I love you.
We have a couple of really interesting episodes, interviews coming up in November. So we might be going more back to our bi-weekly schedule after spooky season, but we'll see. Depends on how much I have a lot of work like actual job work to do in the first few weeks of November. So we're probably going to maybe go back to biweekly just for a little while so I can get that actual, you know, I get paid to do work done. You know, that thing, that job, like a job.
Yeah, the worst.
I know, it's so stupid. Why do you have to work for everything? And on Patreon, in the free stuff. So if you just, you can just follow us on Patreon. You don't have to pay anything for some things. Like there's some photographs that I share with everybody. But one thing that I'm doing, because again, Flaky Foodie coming out in a few weeks, we talked molasses and I made some of the recipes. So I'm going to share those recipes on Patreon with a photograph of what it looks like when it was completed and with the actual recipe and instructions that I used. So that way, Jess's folks can get to everything pretty easily. I mean, yeah, I can definitely put the photographs on Instagram, but when it comes to all the instructions and everything, I just feel like Patreon might look better, like especially if you're trying to use your phone to do the recipes. So look out for that in the next few weeks, because the first one that I made was brown butter molasses blondies, and holy shit balls. Yeah, people ate, I had family over and everybody ate like two of those bars each, and we're just like thinking about possibly having a third because they were that good.
Gadzooks.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to eat like the whole thing. It's not a good idea for me. I want to eat everything. All right. So taking us out again is Morgan Clay with her song Wilder Things. As always, stay spooky and don't die. But if you do, contact us.
Particularly this time, if you would carve a message in the pumpkins on my porch, that'd be great.
But I'ma take a step back and not worry about how they'll react. The thoughts that turned into facts. Oh, I'm seeing through the cracks. So I throw my hands up high and scream. This world has seen much wilder things. I'm taking back the future they've defined. My joy is not a fantasy. I'm liberated from their strings. Show love the beat they hate and dance in time. Guess I've fallen from the tree and I know what they say. Bragging from the knees and saving all the strays. Praying for the day that I will finally cry for help. Such a barricaded love, no wonder I feel shame. Infinitely nameless, ways I am to blame. Story glitter covered. tragedies. Everlastingly mighty. Footprints in the sand. Solid as land. I own a firm my journey. Broken glass, I took the keys. Conquering these open seas. They defined. My joy is not a fantasy. I'm liberated from their strings. So love the beat they hate. Intense in time. Love the beat they hate. And dancing.